space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I'm alive. game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Dispersing chemicals continues to be a controversial topic in the Gulf oil spill response.
They're also being closely monitored at the site of the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska. During his visit with a group of Louisiana residents, Bill Capo asked why the Citizens Advisory Council there decided against using them.
The use of dispersants at the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico was carefully watched at the site of the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska and caused great concern.
Well-intentioned people thought it was the right thing to do, and we may wake up to find out that it was a tragic mistake and we annihilated a bunch of life in the Gulf of Mexico and traded that for perhaps cleaner beaches.
The Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council, or RCAC, has decided that dispersants should not be used to break up oil spills in Alaska, in part because of the cold climate. But the other reason is concern about how poisonous dispersants can be, and how the way they break up oil into tiny droplets could affect marine life.
Very simplistically, dispersants are great if you're a bird and bad if you're a fish. But we've done lots and lots of studies in the intervening 20 years that show that oil in the water at a very, very low, almost parts per billion level, has tremendous impacts on larvae of salmon, larvae of herring.
Swanson said there are good reasons to use dispersants in some cases, such as a small oil spill or one where an endangered species is threatened. But he said just the size of the BP disaster makes it uncharted territory for dispersants.
This is an experiment on a scale that the world has never seen before. And so what are the long-term impacts to the Gulf of Mexico?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows that. And we probably won't know that in 6 months or in 8 months or in 2 years or even in 5 years.
We're living with a potential time bomb waiting to explode in our faces.
Spray on. Spray on.
With nearly 2 million gallons of dispersants being used in the Gulf of Mexico, Swanson's concerns were matched by the worries of the Louisiana delegation that visited Alaska.
Very concerned regarding the dispersant. The fact that the EPA has had no testing on what it does to seafood long term is a big question that's unanswered.
As this stuff is broken down, eventually microbes will biodegrade it and render it benign. But how much damage will it do between now and that time? How far will the oil go? And at what level? What very low levels does that do irreparable damage to marine ecosystems, to the food chain?
The fact that it was used at the wellhead, which was never done before, we don't know how much the food chain is going to be interrupted.
Nobody's ever seen that anywhere. There's no science on that. We are learning as we go.
A new Environmental Protection Agency report says studies indicate dispersants alone are less toxic than oil and less toxic than an oil dispersant mixture.
I think, okay, well, are you any less dead if you're run over by a Volkswagen or by a truck?
What has been created has been a cocktail, a toxic cocktail. And, I'm concerned.
What's really important is oil mixed with dispersants is more toxic than just oil alone, is more toxic than just dispersants alone. And now we have dispersants on an unprecedented scale put into the ecosystem of the Gulf of Mexico.
For now, the wait for answers continues. From Valdez, Alaska, with photographer Brian Lucas, I'm Bill Capo, Channel 4 Eyewitness News.
Swanson concluded one good thing is that studies now being done about the use of dispersants in the Gulf of Mexico can be used to guide decision makers at the next major oil spill.
Coast Guard planes are flying overhead at night spraying Corexit. You're asking me, do you think it's getting on land? I'm telling you, it's getting sprayed on land. And I know from my work with pesticide applications that even if you have a very good pilot, the drift can be of concern, but the secondary effects are the kind of volatilization, evaporation, and then movement. So it's applied, it sits on the surface, it comes on up a little bit, and then it moves around. And wave action, a bird landing there and then swim coming over here and landing there is going to be another mechanism to transport it. So do I think that there's dispersants mixing with our everyday lives? Absolutely. The Corexit dispersant issue is a complex and scary one. It's scary from the point of a toxicologist. It's complex from the point of the resource manager. My doctoral advisor, Dr. Ron Chiardima at UC Davis, was actually on the panel that they had used to advise for the dispersant use. They use a cost-benefit analysis. The costs of cleaning up the shore outweigh the costs of applying dispersants at the sea. Therefore, they perceive the benefit of the dispersants outweigh their negative effects. Okay, what value can you really put on the entire ecosystem of the Gulf that is threatened? They've turned a two-dimensional problem of oil floating on the surface into a three-dimensional problem of oil bound with Corexit, creating substances we know very little about, transforming in the environment through bacterial process into other chemicals that we know absolutely nothing about, that is going to be impacting just about every single marine organism, including ourselves, okay? People need to realize that their water, their air, the sand they're walking on, the things they're touching when they wake up in the morning are coated with this stuff. And if you see it in a high concentration, it looks like radiator fluid. It is not a pretty sight. And the stuff is toxic. You know, the tests say no effect. I can tell you from managing those tests as a professional that you need to know exactly what test gave you what effect that you tested. So if it was no effect on the survival of 7 days of the fish, what happened to that fish at 10 days? Okay, that was my doctoral thesis. The pesticides that killed no fish at 96 hours, which is the EPA deadline, 90% of them died 2 weeks later. These were embryonic salmon. There are a lot of chemical effects that are not being measured by the standard EPA tests. The dispersant takes the oil, breaks it up, makes it soluble with water, right? Oil by itself won't mix with water. You put the dispersant in, it mixes with the water. So no longer are you looking at a case with oil here, water there. You're looking at a case where now we don't have so much of an oil slick. It's gone. Well, it's in the water column, so it's affecting more life. Now, how does it do that? It basically disrupts the natural ability of oil to bond with itself. Oil bilipid layers next to each other are the very basis of life. Each of us is made out of cells. Those cells are nothing more than an oil layer surrounding our DNA, surrounding our proteins and our RNA and all the other molecules talking to each other. You put in a chemical that directly disrupts that basic biological structure, and you are putting yourself at risk from umpteen effects. This is a single cell trying to reproduce in the ocean, and it is destroyed. I can tell you from personal experience, if that organism in that test beaker is paralyzed and incapacitated and its heart rate is half of normal, it is counted as alive. If that heart beats once in a minute, it's alive. And you will see a score of no effect if that's a mortality endpoint test. That is going to kill all of these larval organisms. Okay, and it's not just sea turtles that are reproducing right now. It's the birds and it's everything. So this spill came at a really bad time. Understanding what's behind these tests is part of understanding how toxic these chemicals are. And it's a big question mark right now. We are producing an experiment in the Gulf the likes that no one has ever seen. And the top scientists admit that.
Crap.
Hello, everybody. It's Osha Ziz here. I just played a couple pods there. I'm going to try to play one more pod, but I'm going to have to do it with a live mic because it's too it's too big to get by the YouTube downloader deal. So please bear with me on the sound quality. I'll try to adjust it as best as possible. But I believe this subject's really important, and like to take some calls on it whenever this pod's over, so stay tuned and listen in there.
And petroleum giant BP spilled millions of litres of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico 3 years ago. It was the worst ever offshore oil disaster. To try and break up that massive slick, vast quantities of chemical dispersant was sprayed on the spill. It seemed to work. The oil disappeared. But people started getting sick, and then people started dying. Now this environmental disaster has become a health catastrophe. And as you'll see in this special investigation, it could happen so easily right here in Australia. This vast delta is where the Mississippi meets the Gulf of Mexico. 3 years ago, it was soaked in 700 million litres of crude oil. When BP's Deepwater Horizon offshore oil rig exploded. And 4 million litres of chemical dispersant was used to make the spill go away. Dispersant poisoned this entire area today. It's officially cleaned up. But there is something in this marshland, something in the water, something in the air, that's making people and marine life very sick.
We're being basically killed from the inside out.
Tonight, how the cure became the disease.
I mean, every time I turn around, it's somebody, and it's like, I'm watching it happen all around me, and I'm watching these kids get sick, and I'm like, is it coming?
and how these deadly chemicals are being used in Australia, including on our own Great Barrier Reef.
They're very commonly used and approved for use in Australia.
Are you aware that those two dispersants are banned in 18 countries? Venice, Louisiana was a quiet fishing town until it became ground zero of the BP oil disaster.
That has nothing to do with the federal government.
And it turned Kendra Arneson into the Erin Brockovich of Louisiana.
We have paperwork and back taxes.
And she took BP to task.
So that's her position?
And now their stocks are plummeting? Aww, you want a towel to cry on? Maybe you should use the one that's soaked with my tears.
I first met her 3 years ago, when oil was still gushing out of the Deepwater Horizon well, 200 kilometres offshore.
It's incredible to be at this place right now. This is the actual source of the oil spill, the beginning of the catastrophe.
The biggest oil cleanup effort in history relied heavily on two chemical dispersants. Corexit 9500 and Corexit 9527. Kendra would learn a lot more about them as she rallied a community besieged by oil sickness.
What you see sitting here and all around us, we're the trade-off. That's what unites us.
Their symptoms vary, but their stories don't.
What's the bruising?
These lives were permanently changed by the BP spill and the cleanup attempt that followed.
BP ate my brain. It's something I will never get back. Forever, I will have a hole in my brain.
Jamie Griffin was a chef serving meals to oil spill workers and would often mop up after them.
It's a whole body muscle spasm.
She says she questioned a BP representative about the sticky chemical substance being tracked in on the workers' boots, but was told it was as safe as dishwashing liquid.
The chemicals have given me a neurological disorder called toxic encephalopathy. I have a lesion on my brain which causes a seizure disorder and other neurological problems. It's kind of like a chemical-induced form of MS. Even if every toxin in my body goes away, the damage that it did to my body while they were in there, I have to live with for the rest of my life.
They said it was cancer. Kenny Nelson is talking about his sister Lisa's diagnosis.
It's about three times its size.
This is her in her dying days.
What's the bruising on your chest?
I don't know. It disappeared.
She was a fit and healthy massage therapist. She went for a swim 400 kilometres from the spill 4 months later when authorities said it was safe and fell ill the next day.
It was cancer. She had a tumour that was pushing on her vena cava and that was cutting off her circulation, and that's what the swelling was from.
And is it only up high? Is it elsewhere?
No, it's down here too. I was following the diaphragm.
How long was it before she passed?
5 months.
Have the claims process. It can be accessed three ways through a 1-800 number.
Excuse me.
Be accessed.
Stop. You're wasting my time. U.S. Congressman Jerry Nadler is angry. For 3 years, he's fought BP as BP fought to block and deny health compensation claims.
It would result in thousands and thousands of people getting sick or dying as a result of the cleanup, not of the original disaster.
Do you believe what has happened in the Gulf is a health catastrophe?
Yes, absolutely.
To this day, have you been given any clear answers by BP?
No, we have not.
How do you describe that? Is that just contempt, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It's contempt. They do what they can get away with.
In Tylertown, Mississippi, Steve and Stephanie Aguinaga are 200 kilometres from the oil spill site. But they couldn't be closer to the reality of this catastrophe.
The last thing a person would ever think on their mind is if you go to the beach, you're going to die.
When Steve went for a beach holiday, 3 months after the spill, and more than 1,000 kilometers from the deepwater rig, he thought it was safe to swim. Until he and his best mate, Merrick Verlaine, emerged from the water covered in a sticky mixture of oil and dispersant.
It looked like burnt orange suntan beads, and he had a little bit of a beard growing. And I'm like, what is that? And so I would, you know, I'd grab it and I'd try to pull it, but it would just smear into his face.
Within days, Steve was gravely ill.
I was vomiting blood, urinating blood, passing blood in my stool. I was hallucinating.
But Steve was the lucky one. His mate Merrick was dead within weeks.
And I was sitting on the front row, deathly sick, and I'm just looking at his casket. And my heart was just broke. And I wish I could have just crawled in and, you know, passed away with him, you know. You know that you're just poison. There's nothing you can do.
It's not just people who are suffering. For 3 years, residents have been documenting the steady stream of dying wildlife, including dolphins.
Left to right. Day 3 on the beach.
And turtles.
Dead sea turtles. It's heartbreaking.
And every day, these toxic tar balls still wash ashore.
This is tar balls that we found yesterday in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Fresh.
So these are fresh tar
balls? These are fresh. These are yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
This is 3 years later. This is still common.
Yes.
Both of those. And that's an effect of the dispersant.
We took the tar balls to Rick Kirby at the University of Southern Florida for analysis. He's a coastal geologist by trade and an activist by nature.
This is actually what was used in the Gulf, these two products here.
Yes. He's proving just how long co-rexit dispersants stay in the environment. And a simple UV light test reveals how much dispersant is still in these tar balls by glowing yellow.
I'd be looking for tar balls that would have this kind of a yellow, gold, green signature.
Rip's discovery means that these tiny balls are highly toxic because of what happens when you mix oil and co-rexit.
Given the color that it's fluorescing, this matches up quite succinctly with the 9527 and the 9500 samples.
And it gets worse. The respected Journal of Environmental Pollution has published a study into the biological effects of the deepwater disaster. It found, when co-rexit 9500 and oil are mixed, toxicity increases up to 52-fold. In other words, it's not just oil and water that don't mix. Oil and co-rexit 9500 combined multiplies the toxic impact an astonishing 52 times.
And are those chemicals carcinogenic? Yes, all of the compounds that are found in tar balls are carcinogenic. Now you can see the sand looks pretty clean to the naked eye.
Yeah.
But Rip's UV light experiment also led him to alarming accidental discoveries. It's still present on the beaches, and co-rexit also absorbs into skin.
One of our young researchers was on his knees in the water doing the sampling, and I shined the ultraviolet light on his legs inadvertently. And all of a sudden I saw that his legs had orange spots all up and down his legs. And I said, look, see, you got tar on your knee. And I went like that, and I looked at my finger, and there was nothing on my finger. Well, that meant that it wasn't on his skin, it was in his skin. It had absorbed into his skin to such a saturation level that I could actually make it fluoresce back through his skin with the ultraviolet light. The problem is you can't see it during normal light. So how many people have had this happen to them?
When no one can see it, it seems to be an invisible toxic threat.
And no one can see it, and everyone is saying it's safe to be on the beach.
Coming up, BP's Big Spin.
This Louisiana seafood is delicious.
And how those toxic chemicals have been used in Australia, including on our Great Barrier Reef. Do you know how safe or how toxic corrected 9527 and corrected 9500 are? That's next on 60 Minutes. Welcome back to 60 Minutes and our three-year investigation into the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Millions of litres of oil spewed uncontrollably from BP's Deepwater Horizon rig. The dispersants used to clean up the disaster left behind invisible toxic chemicals which are killing people. Those same dispersants are approved for use in Australia. And as you'll see, these deadly chemicals have already been sprayed around our coastline. In the very same month that the Deepwater Horizon rig exploded, here on the Great Barrier Reef, the Chinese bulk carrier, the Shen Neng, ran aground spewing oil onto the reef. And to disperse that oil, 60 Minutes can reveal that 2,000 litres of co-regulated 9527 was used. The same chemical killing dolphins, turtles and other marine life in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's a disaster for health reasons.
And 220 kilometres off the coast of WA, Corexit has also been sprayed. When the Montara oil rig exploded and spewed millions of litres of crude into our waters, Corexit 9500 and 9527, some 45,000 litres worth, was used. The only thing keeping this toxic mix from our coast, the winds and the tides. In the case of Montara, the slick was blown northwest to Timor, where it's claimed 18 local fishermen died as a result. It's little wonder the use of these chemicals is under serious scrutiny around the world. But our own authorities don't appear too concerned. Do you know how safe or how toxic corrected 9527 and corrected 9500 are? These are commonly used and approved in Australia for use in an oil spill.
They're very commonly used and approved for use in Australia for an oil spill. The specific toxicity level of each and every chemical used in Australia is not personally known to me.
Jane Cutler is the chief executive of NOPSEMA, the Offshore Petroleum Safety Authority. Around Australia, she regulates all oil platforms like Montara, which has just reopened for business. Before the oil starts flowing, Montara, like all other rigs, must get their oil spill emergency response plan approved by NOPSEMA. But Montara's current oil spill plan, released by its operator, still includes the use of both Corexit 9500 and 9527. What guarantees have they given you about how they will safely handle an oil spill if it happened again?
Any petroleum activity in Commonwealth waters, before it can take place, must have an environmental plan accepted and assessed by NOPSEMA.
So the oil authority must approve any planned use of dispersants, including Corexit 9500 and 9527. Crucially, those plans must outline just how toxic any dispersants become when mixed with oil. But as it stands, Montara's publicly released plan doesn't spell it out. I had a look through the oil spill contingency plan for Montara. There's some 292 pages here, but I can't find in it anywhere where they answer that question, how toxic the dispersant is when it's mixed with oil, and that's something your organisation asks them to provide. There's no mention of it in there.
I haven't seen the document that you're referring to personally.
This is their oil spill plan. This is what you regulate.
I'd have to look at the detail of it.
Are you aware that those two dispersants are banned in 18 countries? With that, Jane Cutler asked for us to wait while she checked details of the Montara emergency plan.
Components of the Corexit, which is the dispersant, are known and suspected to cause cancer.
In Louisiana, toxicologist Dr. Wilma Subra knows all about dispersants. She's been methodically documenting what Corexit mixed with oil has been doing to the people of the Gulf. Her conclusions couldn't be more serious.
Well, the short-term cancers are like the leukemia from exposure to benzene, but the long-term cancers are like cancer of the liver, cancer of the kidneys. The decreased lung function then leads to cardiovascular impacts, even though that's, quote, not cancer. That's as debilitating as cancer.
And you're in no doubt that the agents in the dispersant mixed oil is causing these illnesses and specifically the cancers.
Right.
This one here is for breakthrough pain associated with the internal injuries.
Steve Aguinaga now lives on a diet of expensive medication.
The nutrients in my body to keep me alive.
Not that BP pays for any of it.
Anxiety.
Their much publicized payout of $42 billion in cleanup, fines, and compensation doesn't cover people like Steve.
Severe muscle pain that I experience throughout my body.
And now you rely on this medication to get some sort of quality of life back.
To just try to survive. If I don't take it, I die.
Why do you think nobody's listening to your plight?
Because BP's got more money than I do. And that's basically what it is. Cash is king in this country.
For a great vacation this year, come to the Gulf.
BP's deep pockets have funded a multi-million dollar ad campaign.
It was world-class dining with our world-famous seafood.
Assuring Americans in 30-second sound bites that the Gulf is safe again.
We're open for business, and it's time to start buying Gulf seafood again.
Should Corexit have been used at all?
I certainly think not. It should not have been used because we did not have, and we still do not have, the data to show that it was safe.
It appears that BP got away with it.
I think they largely did.
But getting BP to comment on any of this is like getting blood from a stone. They refused our request for an interview, saying none of its senior executives can talk because they're potential witnesses in ongoing legal action. They did, however, provide us with a series of statements. And on the subject of dispersants, they're holding the company line, saying that they're an effective, time-tested response tool for dealing with oil spills. In Australia, the Maritime Safety Authority says these dispersants will be phased out. But if there was a spill today, they'd be used. 60 Minutes can reveal that 19,000 litres of Corexit 9500 is ready to go, stored onshore in Darwin and Gladstone. Meanwhile, Jane Cutler returns with a development.
You've gone and checked and there is new stuff you can tell us.
The new oil spill plan for Montara, the rig that blew up off WA's coast and recently began operating again, will now be reviewed by the regulator. But it doesn't meet your current standards.
It doesn't meet the requirements of the regulations as they stand today.
It stands today that this is their oil spill plan and they are drilling again.
This is the one that was previously accepted by the regulator. It stands today. It's under revision. It's under challenge by NOPSEMA.
And you cannot tell me whether or not those two dispersants are being challenged.
I can't answer specifics of the details of any particular activity.
Back where it all began in Louisiana, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill and the cleanup response has finally taken an unbearable toll on Kendra Arneson.
I don't see anybody still there.
I ain't seen nobody.
The once fiery activist, now beaten and broken, is reluctantly moving her family away from the Gulf.
Well, there's an oil spill and they're spraying it and they're sinking it. Get your kids and leave. Don't stay there. Don't fight. Leave. So I really think for people anywhere, they really need to stand up and say, we're not going to use toxic chemicals on toxic chemicals. It's ludicrous. It's unfathomable how someone could think that that's a logical decision.
Did BP get away with murdering the Gulf? As you
absolutely. Yeah, for a very cheap price.
The federal minister ultimately responsible is Gary Gray. before the government entered caretaker mode, he twice agreed to an interview before cancelling both times.
And to a development in our special investigation from last week. Michael Usher examined the toxic legacy of BP's oil spill in America.
We're being basically killed from the inside out.
3 years ago, BP's Deepwater Horizon rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. To clean it up, they used over 4 million litres of chemical dispersants. Americans exposed to Corexit 9500 and Corexit 9527 mixed with oil began to get very sick and even die.
The last thing a person would ever think on their mind is if you go to the beach, you're going to die.
We showed the toxic chemical mix could remain inside tar balls for years and even soak into the skin.
And are those chemicals carcinogenic?
Yes, all of the compounds are carcinogenic.
The 60 Minutes investigation revealed the same chemicals have been used right here, off the coast of WA after the Montara oil spill, as well as on our own Great Barrier Reef. And 19,000 litres of Corexit is stored in Darwin and Gladstone. It would be used today in the event of an offshore oil spill.
You've gone and checked and there is new stuff you can tell us.
Finally, NOPSEMA, the Oil Rig Safety Authority, has allowed Montara to restart its drilling operations, despite it listing Corexit in its emergency plan.
This isn't an oil spill plan, this is what you regulate.
I'd have to look at the detail of it.
Are you aware that those two dispersants are banned in 18 countries?
You were, quite simply, disgusted. From Anthony on Twitter. BP don't care about you and me. It's all about the money. In their eyes, if it's not visible, there's no problem. Haley on email wrote, I was shocked to hear that a 200-odd page spill management report had no mention of the chemical toxicity of these products, and it was accepted by Australian authorities. Well, one of the agencies is the Australian Maritime Safety Authority. And since our story went to air, AMSAR has changed its stance on Corexit, updating its website to say that it has destroyed all Corexit 9527 stocks and has programmed the disposal of the 19,000 litres of Corexit 9500 we revealed was still stockpiled in Gladstone and Darwin. And in a statement, the authority assured 60 Minutes that all of AMSAR stocks of Corexit 9500 will be disposed of by the end of the year. Meanwhile, NOPSEMA, the offshore oil authority we interviewed in last week's story, is still refusing to act.
Hello, everybody. I hope you got to hear that real well. And waiting for people to call in over here. Anyway, everybody who knows me knows that I'm not by any means any kind of doomsday or fearmonger, but this particular episode right here has really seriously got me concerned because I feel like that the supposed people in charge out there have seriously overlooked the basic science of what's going on. And if you get out there on YouTube, you'll find all kinds of videos about mass die-offs of birds and fish and starfish turning to mush and crabs coming up missing and sea lions and different sea life washing up on the beach, starving to death, birds. You know, for the longest time, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Hello, you guys are live.
Anyway. Oh, it's just me right now. Justin went off, go get some coffee.
All right, well, let me finish what I was about to say.
All right.
Anyway, for the longest time, it didn't seem to make any sense to me why these birds would be falling out of the sky, and whenever they did autopsies on these birds, they had liquefied internals. And really, two and two never got put together. I mean, there was always the possibility that it had something to do with the chemicals that they spray in the air and the pulsing of facilities such as HAARP, you know, could be the only possibility that I could have thought of at the time. However, after doing a lot of research on Corexit and the way that it functions and attaches itself to the water molecule and oil, is that it now I understand why that there would be a bird that would be liquefied from the inside out. You got to think, if all these fish are washing up on the shore, it's like a feast for the birds. I mean, the birds are going to fly in there, they're just going to eat up as much as they can eat up and go on about their day all happy because they got a full belly. However, with that chemical inside of those fish, now you have that chemical working inside the bird as well. And so it's all starting to make a lot of sense. If there was ever a doomsday type scenario to be seriously concerned about, this one here is top of the list for me. This, in my opinion, dwarfs Fukushima and Chernobyl and all the different radiation leaks that's happened throughout the history of modern day man. And so, with that said, there's still a radiation leak going on over there in Japan, and I see nothing but bad possibilities coming about, because this oil spill's happened quite some time back, and it's had plenty of time to circumnavigate the entire globe. And I also remember that there was several incidents where there was a material that when it rained was left and deposited on vehicles. I've also seen a lot of different plants with speckled with the same kind of stuff that pretty much damaged the plants as well. And throughout the last year or so, I've also seen trees dying off that normally would have been healthy, and I couldn't understand why. And then on top of that, I've noticed that there had been many ponds that were doing pretty much the same thing. Now, one could argue that, yeah, these are all natural events from all over the globe, but I wouldn't overlook what's going on because of the severity of this thing. Is that not only is it in the ocean, but by now it is also in the water supply in every water table out there. And because of the way that it actually breaks this stuff down, if you think about how oil floats on top of water because of its viscosity, and then you break it down, and the smaller you break this down, you'll get multiple layers of this material that may not be like necessarily visible to the eye, but you would be able to feel that there would be a something sticky about the water. Something just isn't right. And so, knowing how the Gulf Stream and all the underwater currents work with heated water and cold water at different levels, you could have literally a silent killer. There could be a school of fish up at this level, and then down at the lower level could be this chemistry that when it hits warm water would rise to the surface and kill off these fish, which would explain why it's not happening all over at one time. And the scary thing about this is the farther you dilute this Corexit, these chemicals, the dispersants that they used in that BP oil spill, the more toxic they become. Oil in itself has its own toxicity, but is a lot safer when it's in its natural state as opposed to when it's broke down with this chemical dispersant, which also has its own toxicity. Now, they swapped out the old style dispersant for a newer, supposedly less toxic dispersant, but nonetheless, it's still adding toxic on top of toxic. And my concern on this particular episode is there may very well not be any possibility for mankind to clean this up. This may be something that you have to put warning zones around for years to come and try to steer people away from it, because I don't see any way other than trying to use other chemicals to dilute or get rid of this chemical dispersant. And as you heard inside the documentary, they used millions of gallons of this stuff. I mean, this this is beyond all the natural disasters that mankind has done on this planet right now, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and I would pray to God that I'm wrong, because if I'm right, we've got less than 5 years before the entire ocean's food chain collapses, literally collapses. And I hope and pray that I'm wrong. But from everything that I've seen, and seeing the after effects of what they did in that doggone oil spill, and now what's coming on here several years afterwards, we're literally just now seeing the long-term effects of that ignorance of putting that chemical in the ocean. And it really makes me angry, because back in the day when that oil spill first came about, there were multiple people that were sending all kinds of natural ways to recollect that oil and clean up that spill without using any chemical dispersants. But these companies had they didn't listen to nobody. And so now we're here to pay the price for their ignorance back then. And so with that said, buddy, have you been listening? You got any ideas on this thing?
Oh, yeah, listened all the way from the beginning. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Putting more chemicals in there doesn't help. You already got four billion liters in there. And we talk about the starfish dissolving. You can't even pick them up. We thought maybe that was radiation. Maybe it's not. Because the water basically, it goes from the higher concentration to the lower concentration until it's all even all the way around. So, I mean, a flock of birds can go down there and, get some water or feed on some fish. Later on, there's millions of them all over the doggone road in one spot because they didn't make it far. That's pretty potent stuff.
Yeah. The scary part about that.
And the fish all coming up on there. And you know what? I really don't think all the way from the beginning, I didn't think that was by an accident. I think it was on purpose, kind of like the spraying of the toxins and everything in the air. I don't think that, my goodness, man. I don't know what they're thinking is the deal there. I mean, look, if they live and get their money out of us through the oil, and that's the main thing, and they're willing to kill to make sure that they can keep selling the oil. Why spray stuff in the air, and why put things into the water? I had an invention. I forwarded it, and it was the deal where you had a roller on the front of the, like a steamroller roller on the front of the boat, and you just kind of put through there, and the roller spun backwards, so it would pick up the oil, would stick to the drum, and a little squeegee on the backside, that would roll off the side and into the boat, the water would fall out the bottom, and you'd pick up that oil, and they could have made money off of that. And it did, that would not hurt the environment.
Well, the scary thing about all of this is how the Corexit actually works. It breaks up the oil into smaller pieces that their initial deal was that it would break it down small enough that microbes could eat it up. But the problem is that the more it was diluted, the more toxic it became. So now you're mixing two toxic chemicals into the system. And like I said, when I first heard about the liquefied internals of birds, the only thing that I could possibly think about would be them pulsing like harp or something like that, the high frequency waves or whatever. But now, after doing a lot of research on how this stuff actually functions, I mean, you got to think about this. If a bunch of fish float to the surface because they've been exposed to massive chemical, masses of doses of this chemical.
Which they blamed on the oil.
Yeah. And so when the birds eat that, now it's inside the bird. And
yeah, it's hard to find something that can break down oil. If it's going to break down oil, darn sure break down life.
Well, yeah, you got oil and water inside your body, and this stuff causes oil to literally bind to the water molecule. And see, you know, the basic science of it is all there, and I couldn't understand why anybody would be that doggone stupid that they would use that to begin with. Now I think, and this may be where I'm sounding kind of crazy, but now I think that also the Fukushima radiation portion that's pouring into the water, whereas I might have a difference in opinion on the actual danger of that by itself. The two combined has got me concerned, because we know how a microwave oven works. We know that when you send a microwave out into a water molecule, water is a dipole molecule, and so it, you know, basically creates friction, which cooks your food. Well, that process alone, and the consistency of the salt in the ocean, and maybe lots of different materials like iron or brass or whatever, different materials in the ocean. Now I start seeing where you could actually get some sort of electrolysis process mixed to where now you're actually separating the hydrogen and oxygen, which in then turn, when that water evaporated, would pull these chemicals up with it into the atmosphere and then begin to rain down around the planet. Does that make any sense to you, or am I just totally off base here?
No, I don't think you're totally off base. Shoot, I was kind of, while I was half listening, I was kind of dwelling on the deal that, you know, they aren't taking the blame. People getting sick, they're not trying to pay the hospital bills on all that stuff. And basically they got away with this for next to nothing.
Well, yeah, but what I was saying about how that there was a potential that radiation leak could essentially energize the problem even worse, because now you've got radioactive water interacting with salt and this chemistry that is bound up with the water molecule.
We thought that's what was killing the starfish and other things there, and we think it's they're trying to say that it's generating this weather where we're getting the weather that Canada should be. They're mowing the lawn now for the first time, and we're down here for like the fourth day in a row with 6 inches of snow down here in Texas. And over there in Arizona, my goodness, man, come on.
Well, what if some of these chemtrails that they're spraying in the sky is their crazy solution to try to fight?
Well, if you talk to Jim Lee, he actually basically has videos showing the radar of the clouds and the direction that they're going, and also the little pattern. All of a sudden the wind just takes a left hook and goes up.
Yeah, and, I understand what you're saying, but before I lose this point,
the warm air up there in Canada and then it's blasting the cold stuff down here and creating these super storms. Systems and all that stuff. No, all that stuff's on purpose.
Muddy.
Because out there, they got ships out there sitting there doing the same thing that HAARP did.
I understand what you're saying, but before I lose the point, and I agree with you that that could be potential of what's going on with the weather, but before I lose the point, if they're trying to use chemicals sprayed in the air to... what's the word I'm looking for when you make something where it's not you stabilize it or whatever, you know, you stop it.
Yeah, to make it safe and
yeah, well, if they're doing that, they're throwing a problem on top of a problem.
Yeah.
And so
no amount of chemicals is gonna take more is gonna make it less chemicals out there.
So my thing is this, you know, this is by far as I'm concerned, this dwarfs Fukushima, this dwarfs Chernobyl and the Three Mile Island event and all the different radioactive things out there, because this is something that it's not like oil floating on water, you know, that's a bad deal, but you can still separate it to some extent without croaking yourself out. This is something that mixes with the water and basically breaks it all up and makes it to where it falls down to the bottom of the water. Now you've got all these microbes that live at the bottom and different small, like the shrimp and wildlife.
And stuff, yeah. octopus, everything that lives at the bottom is now having to put up with it. They kind of go over the sand and the rock and everything like that and hide in. They got plant life down there, man. And so, yeah, you're going to sit there and make sure it all falls to the bottom. And some of it floats midway, and some of it still sticks at the surface, taking care of the brine and the shrimp and the algae and stuff. It's messed up the whole ecosystem of the water.
Well, like I said, man,
The Earth is two-thirds covered with water. And when, you know what, nobody wants to eat anything out of the ocean anymore because they're afraid of that radiation. I mean, who in their right mind would sit there and find a doggone spot that you know is prone to earthquakes and you're out there in the middle of water surrounded on both sides and take so many tons of doggone plutonium, which is, you take your different types of uranium and stuff and you refine it and you refine it and you refine it one more time and it comes plutonium. Doggone, nobody has that much plutonium sitting anywhere. Yeah, well, I don't think any of this stuff was by accident.
I think honestly, from my own research and of course, obviously, my own opinion on the matter, I think that this BP disaster is by far. It makes all the radiation leaks around the world look like child's play. I don't think that there's any worse disaster going on right now, mainly because of the way that this chemistry breaks up. There's not just one layer under the ocean. There's multiple layers under there, different temperatures of water, and this stuff could literally linger under the ocean for decades. And like you see, you don't see all the fish dying off in masses all along the coastline, you see pockets here and there. And so if you think about how the water cooler at one deal and warmer up at the top, and then when these two mix and the warm rises up with this chemical right into a school of fish, and then, you know, these fish start dying off, so, you know, what do you do? I mean, what can mankind do to fix this? I mean, I don't see any solution. I really honestly don't. And that's why I say this, to me, is probably the scariest episode, you know, outside of World War III. You know, these guys really screwed up when they did that. I mean, they basically stuck it to the world because this stuff is not just off of the Gulf of Mexico or Australia. It's worldwide now. I mean, it's been over, what, 3 years or more?
Yeah. And here's the thing. They want to find you because you breathe the carbon. Well, you know what? The carbon grows trees and plants. I mean, it's a natural cycle. I'm sorry. And like I said, the volcanoes out there put out a whole lot. One eruption of a volcano in a day puts out a whole lot more carbon than any of this all the cars and everything around the world and factories and stuff like that do for like 100 years. So, I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing the excuses of why they do things. They have no excuse for spraying chemicals in the air. They have no excuse for sitting there making genetically modified crap that's got 5% the taste and 5% of the nutrition in it, so you can actually stuff yourself and still starve if you actually have to do any work in the day. And they got pesticides in all the stuff there that basically if you eat one kind of vegetable all the time, you will get sick and possibly die. I think it's the EPA that sits there and says, you're supposed to eat so much of this, then eat so much of this, and so much of this, so you don't gain up above the levels of what's safe for you to eat. Come on now. Now the genetically modified stuff makes its own stuff. If they just leave nature alone, they'll find out that all these problems would actually disappear Get rid of the genetically modified crap. Stop putting stuff into the water. Stop polluting. Everything's all about money. That's why BP won't pay for the hospital bills. Oh, that's not our fault. And, you know, it's about the money.
Well,
I still do not understand why killing off our eco-culture is supposed to help us to buy more oil off them and stuff like that, because oil makes the world go round.
I do not see any common sense
at all in anything that they're doing, and I don't see where adding chemicals or to the air or the water or our food has anything to do with helping or saving us.
As far as I'm concerned, anyone in charge at the EPA should be in jail right now. Because, literally, they just committed mass genocide by allowing all this stuff to go on. You know, I'm not a fearmonger, by any means. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm always looking into hope and peace and love and all that kind of stuff. But this really got me concerned because of the way this stuff works. You know, the more it's diluted, the more toxic it becomes. And it doesn't go away. It's not something that's just going to up and go away. You know, radioactivity itself can actually dissipate over some period of time. But it takes
a lot of animals to ingest it and change it, process it, and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
Chernobyl's got plant life and wildlife and all that stuff. But they aren't well. They're paying the price. They're suffering, but they're living.
If you find a starfish that is literally mush, then there's problems. There is real serious problems going on. You start finding doggone shrimp that are bleeding out the other end, and doggone birds liquefied internals, you got a serious problem. And here recently, it's been a case that they've been talking about how there's a lot of sea lions that are washing up to the side of the shore there that are essentially starving to death because their normal food chain has been broken. And, you know, I think there's only one possible way that they're going to save that ocean, and that is if they literally start to take unaffected species out of the ocean, put them in tanks or reservoirs somewhere and keep them alive until the planet has a chance to recover. This is just beyond anything that I've ever even been concerned about. You know, look, the sea life, you're going to have to get them out of that water. You're going to have to get them into a situation where you can keep those species alive for many generations. Otherwise, they're just going to go by the wayside. And who knows how many species have been lost already so far. But like I said, as far as Fukushima goes, that's child's play compared to what they did during the BP oil spill. I mean, that doesn't worry me nowhere near to the level that this chemistry in the water does. And so, with that said, need to have brilliant minds from all over the planet troubleshooting what the heck to do about this deal. The Fukushima mess needs to be cleaned up. The water spilling into the ocean needs to be stopped. They need some sort of resolution for it. But this other deal with the chemistry that they put in there that corrects it, there was two different brands. One they used back in 89 that was super toxic, and now another one that they're using now that's supposedly less toxic. And the word less toxic really bothers me because it's still toxic. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Heck, I remember when they sprayed the DDT and there were folk festivals and stuff with people coming up. It just seemed like everybody had a song about it. And basically, the DDT, we almost killed off the American eagle and all the vultures and hawks and stuff like that, the big birds of prey and their scavengers because of the DDT. They couldn't sit on their eggs without breaking them because the shells were so thin and so weak, and their bones were getting weak as well. Yeah, so they had to stop spraying the DDT. And there's been, you know, you're going to find out that there's hundreds, I'm sorry, thousands of different chemicals they used to spray out there, and none of them did any good for the environment. If they found something that did good for the environment and helped control it, you know, it'd be a mass market thing, but none of them were any good. We got, you know, poisons are still poisons no matter what you do. And spraying more doesn't help it.
These people who are supposedly running...
These guys went to court over this stuff, and every one of them spent billions of dollars in time on batteries of lawyers to keep it going. And it basically tells you what it's about. It's about money.
Well, these people who are supposedly running the world must have lost their doggone minds, literally, because... You know, here you got people bombing the crud out of people on one side. You got people polluting the planet on the other side. And like you said earlier, it's all about making as much money as you can, you know, regardless of the future generations. I mean, what we got going on right here is a worldwide catastrophe. I mean, if anybody was wanting to talk about a doomsday-style scenario, this is it. Because once you break down that food chain... Once all those species are gone, they're gone. You know, there's no getting them back. You know, right now, they got a food, a seed bank somewhere up in Alaska somewhere, you know, in the side of a hill. They got this food bank for seeds and all. But where's the bank for all the fish? They need to seriously be building an ark right now. You know, almost like a version of the Noah's Ark, but huger. A lot bigger, with every type of fish that they can get their hands on that's still alive, that isn't compromised by this chemical, and try to keep them alive on shore, because from what I can see right now on the scale of what's going on out there in the world, I'm just going to come out and say I think that this within 5 years there ain't going to be no wildlife anywhere in that ocean at all. I mean, it's just I know that sounds crazy.
It doesn't regenerate. You can't regenerate a species. It just doesn't happen.
No, and no.
It basically disproves, you know, that theory of evolution too, because. It's not like, okay, when the chemicals go on, these animals will start to come back.
Well, they put this stuff in there by the millions of gallons, man. And if you think about it, million gallons, pretty doggone a lot. It's a lot of stuff. That's a really potent industrial strength toxin that they put in the water. And knowing that it becomes more toxic the more it breaks down, and it would become more widely dispersed and more toxic the further it spread out. So by the time it got over to the Fukushima disaster, now you got a situation where it could literally create an even worse catastrophe by the chemistry going on in Fukushima, with the radioactive water being heated up down there and evaporating up to the air and dragging this chemistry up into the atmosphere and then spreading it all over the doggone globe, man. I'm telling you what, these guys really seriously screwed up with this one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, and you know what the bad thing is? They say, well, what are they talking about this now for, man? This is old. No, it's not. It's still happening. It's still now. It's still killing. It's still there, and they're not paying. They're not taking care of it. They haven't pulled it out.
We're just now.
I had the solution with that roller in the front of the boat. We'd just sit there and pick it up off the top of the water, and they could load it into the boat. You know,
well, there was a whole bunch of people that put out natural solutions, even putting straw out there to absorb it, you know, or whatever. There was tons and tons of it, but we're just now seeing the side effects.
Money. It doesn't cost money to sit there and just have that roller roll it up and squeegee it off. Only the oil sticks to the drum and a little water, and the water would go to the bottom, and you get rid of the water before it mixes. And they could have made money off of it at the same time, recovering it.
Yep,
but when it comes to our children's future, why is money even irrelevant?
Well, you know what? That's neither here nor there. We need to figure out some sort of way by which we could either filter this crud or figure some way out. I don't know. I just... I'm not a chemist, but the basic chemistry of what they said that this stuff actually does and how it functions, to break down the oil to smaller portions that small microbes could eat it up, and then basically it would eventually go away and not be there. All I see is they made the shoreline look pretty as far as watercolor, but left tar balls floating up. And they're talking about not just in the Gulf, they're talking about in the Mississippi River and so on and so forth. That's, dude, Mississippi River runs into Missouri River or vice versa. They all intertwine. So, you know, and look at all the respiratory illnesses going on around the globe. Is it really Ebola or the flu, or is it this crud that is literally taking people down? There's a lot of ifs there, you know?
Yeah, here we got vaccinations and Bill Gates and fixing kids sued by so many people. Yeah, I mean, you had got the Ebola thing out here, and all of a sudden he owns the doggone cure. But where's the cure? It's a vaccination that you could take if you want to. And it, I guess if you live through it, then they say, okay, well, we'll take your blood for test, and they'll develop it, and they say, okay, well, we got the cure now. We found somebody immune to it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, ironically enough,
people with it, yeah, and that's my deal here. You know, it's all about money. Every bit of it is about money.
Ironically enough, as immune as they may think they are to whatever biotoxin that they make, or biovirus or whatever, genetically weaponized virus, whatever immunity they may think they have absolutely 150,000% no, without a doubt, no immunity from the mess that BP created whenever they poured that Corexit in there.
Catch this. What percentage of the people around you right now got a hacking cough and cold? I mean, you know, got some kind of a flu right now.
At least three
after they
out of
put
four.
Out the stupid flu vaccine for this year, and another countries are out there saying it's they're going to go ahead and inoculate their people by spraying it in the air because not enough people are coming forward for it.
Well,
does it sound on purpose to you yet?
Well, yeah, it does, because you're either flat out stupid and ignoring basic science, or you're doing this deliberately. I mean, if they set out to destroy the world, by God, they sure did succeed, because, you know, this seriously has me concerned. I mean, if a volcano went off, if several volcanoes went off around the planet, I wouldn't be near as worried as I am as far as this goes.
Right, because it's happened for billions of years.
Yeah, but
here's the deal. Look, you reach out, you go pet a pit bull, he bites the living fire out of your hand, you pull it back, and you say, oh, okay, time to pet him again. Oh, yeah, it's mandatory. You must pet the pit bull. Oh, well, not enough people want to pet the pit bull, because everybody they see petting the pit bull gets their hand bit the crap out of them, and the dog tries to probably get after him. So now we're going to just spray him in the sky to make sure everybody gets a pit bull.
Well, you know what?
It's not as stupid as that.
I've said a million and one times that nature is tougher than man, but I may have been very well spoken a bit too soon, because this particular episode, I know nature will finally end up one day cleaning it up. That's not the issue. The problem is the damage that's going to be done before it gets around, and the generations that's going to have to suffer through a lot of misfortune because of this deal. And the scary thing about it is, from what I understand, they still use this stuff. And they have tons of gallons of this stuff laying around in case they have another oil spill where they will use it again.
Yeah, you ever hear that thing later to say when a rich man still has his first nickel? Or has his first dollar framed on the wall? He still has every dime he ever made, and the whole deal is, so basically what Justin just popped in there, he says, and we support it. That's right. We support the wars. They sit there and show you a bunch of kids out there with their bellies look like they swallowed a basketball, and their ribs and all the bones are showing in their body, and make us go, oh man, we'll give some money. So what do? No, a very small percent of that food actually gets over there, and you send food over there, the governments go ahead and take it, and use it for control of the people. So yeah, gee, who's supporting all this? What are they thinking? Well, I think it's the fact that they're not thinking.
Well,
or what they're thinking isn't very nice.
These guys up here that are into transhumanism and wanting to become gods, you know, genetically modifying the human race to become part machine or part human and live forever. Where in the heck did they get it in their mind? This whole deal, I'll never understand. But this is even beyond them. I don't care if you are half robot and half human. You can't shake loose something that's going to bind itself to water and bind itself to oil and break that oil down. You got oil and water in your body. Your body's 3/4 covered in water. And the more you dilute this, the more toxic it becomes. And for them to even contemplate on putting it in the water to begin with, that was their first show of stupidity. And so either they did it flat out intentionally, ignoring all the reasons, all the dangers, possible dangers, or they're just flat out stupid. That's why I say I think the entire EPA, if you're involved with any decision making in the EPA and you said that this was all right, you should be in jail. You should be under the jail, as far as I'm concerned. This
EPA, Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah.
And Big Pharma.
If
it can hurt you, they'll legalize it. If it can't hurt you, or if it's just a vitamin and they find out that it's a cure, all of a sudden it's a regulated or a controlled substance.
Us driving our cars.
They can make money off it. And they'll sit there and try to make it so unavailable to you.
Driving our car is more of a concern to them. Our carbon footprint is more of a concern to them than throwing millions of gallons of toxic crap into the ocean and wiping out the sea life. I mean, where in the heck is their priorities? Seriously, where are you going to get a decent drink of water when all this stuff's done? You know, the earth is 3/4 covered in water. Maybe you've got yourself a whole lot of years.
There's some things you can't distill out of water. Now, when you sit there and you got a sour mash and you put it down there and you let that thing sour up real good and then you go ahead and you distill it, what do you have? You have liquor. You don't have water. You have liquor. So there's some things you can't distill out of the water. There's some things you can't get out of the water.
So
your point is exact. Where are you going to get something to drink that won't kill you?
There's got to be a solution out there. I'm positive there's got to be a solution, but I have no idea what it is. You know, this is something that
they say that Burgee water filter, you can piss in the top and put a cup down the bottom and you're good, but you're going to have to clean that filter.
Well,
and it gets expensive.
Regardless of all that, you know, if you already know that this is going to cause a problem, you got to stop, because the more they keep using it, the more they compound the problem and the more they prolong the problem. It has to stop. And, you know, if nature's ever to have the opportunity to clean up, you got to stop pouring the crap in the water. You know, because it's not just staying in one area. And when they're flying it over the top of the ocean, you know the wind's dragging it towards the shore as well, so that's getting into shoreline waterways, which is also getting into, you know, creeks and streams and rivers or whatever.
Stop using the period.
Yeah.
We need deep oil.
Yeah, wasn't it Larry that said they had a water filter that basically used the electrical charge and magnetics, and the bad stuff went one way and the good stuff went the other way?
Well, something has to be done. I don't know what it is, man. You know.
Anyway,
we're sitting here.
The fireplace went out. I'm going to take a 5-minute break if you're willing to do so as well.
Yeah, we're sitting here trying to work on solutions and alternative energy to benefit the world, while at the same time you've got these major corporations and companies out there trashing the planet. I mean, it's all counterproductive. You mean, at some point you feel like you just want to throw your hands up in the air and walk away and say the heck with it. But if we do, then the outcome is that, you know, our children are going to be the ones left holding the bag. And that makes me sick, man. Makes me sick that I'm thinking my kid can't even drink a dang glass of water without having to worry about whether there's fluoride or chlorine or aluminum or chemistry or whatever up inside that water. And we wonder why our society is as sick as it is. If they want to depopulate the planet, they must all be sitting around in their bunkers drinking up fresh water that they stored ahead of time. You know, if you, boy, if there ever was a conspiracy out there to depopulate the planet, this is like proof positive that they're really seriously about doing it, because, you know, why put something that toxic into the water if you ain't trying to kill somebody? It don't make any sense.
From my perspective, with what's going on with the scare of global warming, that would be a perfect spot to spill oil, because you're spilling it into the Gulf Stream, which then would slow it down because it can't go as fast because the oil is much thicker.
Well, I'm not even worried about global warming. I'm not even worried about the Fukushima disaster right now. I'm more worried about this chemistry makeup that's not at just the top layer, but every layer in between, because once you break it down, oil's viscosity, like you said, is thicker, and normally oil would float on top of water, but now it's being held down. It's basically, you're building little microscopic rafts for this stuff to disperse throughout the entire globe, and it's been over 3 years at least since that disaster. And there was a spill back in 89 with the doggone Valdez or whatever the heck that big tanker was, that they used the same stuff and had a lot of problems back then they should have learned from. You know, this isn't stopping. This is, as far as I'm concerned, it's getting worse. You know, I don't want to try to scare the crud out of people, but this is a wake-up call. Literally, you know?
The world is awakening in many ways.
Well, I don't know whether or not they did it fast enough. I think they hit the snooze button one time too many or something, because otherwise people would be like knocking on the doors of all these companies and saying, you put that stuff down there again and we're going to have an issue. You know, this is crazy. This is beyond crazy. This is just flat out stupid. This past ludicrous. If there's any way to explain ignorance to the millionth degree, this is what this is. This is insanity plus.
It definitely is, and I believe that it's because all these years man has been blinded to chase money and be selfish instead of caring for one another. So you have this entire world of man being selfish, nobody wants to help nobody, and everybody just wants their vacation and doesn't care about nobody.
Well, there's a vast amount of people around here such as yourself and me and everybody else out here on Wake Radio and you know, all the different networks affiliated, that we do care, and we're actually trying to bring some awareness to whatever's going on around the world.
That's right.
But this is something
that I care about everybody, and so do you.
This is something that
we're trying.
This is a race in the clock episode here. This broadcast and every other broadcast related to it should be going viral by now, because this is a serious episode, man. I mean, what's the point of me finding free energy for the world if we're all going to be dying of toxins anyway?
Not to mention the mosquito spray. You ever see those trucks that spray the mosquito fog stuff?
Well, yeah.
The kids are chasing the fog, playing in the fog.
Yeah.
And because of the parents not knowing.
Pesticides and all that kind of crud that they put out there. Monsanto gets by with so many different pesticides out there, it ain't even remotely funny. Roundup being one of the worst ones. And so we're living in a doggone toxic world, and these knuckleheads are making millions of dollars, and people still go buy the product because they'd rather have the chemistry on their lawn than the bugs in their garden. And they don't take in consideration the long-term effects of eating a tomato with Roundup on it, you know?
The bugs are supposed to be there.
Yeah, well,
and
you know,
you're supposed to not spray it with spray any Roundup around stuff 2 weeks before you eat it.
If you go to the grocery store and they say that you need to wash your vegetables, if you go to the grocery store to buy vegetables and they say you need to wash your vegetables before you eat them, you shouldn't even be buying them.
That's right.
Period.
Well, you can't do that with the genetically modified because you bite into it and you taste it. You say, oh, yeah, let's wash it off first. And then you realize after you've eaten the whole outside and you start to eat the inside, you still got it there. But you think that's just from the outside and it's on your tongue. No, well, it's all through it.
Well, this whole conversation seems so doomsday-ish, if that's even a word, so negative that it's just mind-boggling. I mean, it makes...
Well, I'm not about the fear porn. I'm about making them pay.
Yeah, I understand.
The truth hurts.
It does. It's seriously making me physical ill to even talk about this stuff. And until I started actually sitting down and contemplating what it was that they actually did back then, I was complaining. If you could follow back all the way through all the YouTube videos that had to do with the BP oil spill, I kept saying in the comment section, don't do that. Do not do that. I kept on saying you're going to cause a problem long term that's going to be worse than anything mankind has ever saw. You could find them comments back in, if you go back in them videos, I was out there shouting it. And just like Muddy said, I sent an idea to the White House to tell them how they could clean up this doggone oil spill without using this chemistry, and it was ignored. They're still using it. And they're not held accountable here in the United States for what they're doing out to sea. But they should be held accountable worldwide for what they have done to this world. I mean, these guys should be in the poorhouse, the jailhouse, or you know, whatever.
So many years of conditioning. These men don't care about anybody else but themselves, and they do deep down inside. They don't realize it, that they're going to be hurting their grandchildren and everything, but they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about their Hawaiian vacation.
Right.
Well, you know what? When they go to that Hawaii vacation and they decide to go jump in the water, guess what? That chemistry's over there too. And maybe the good Lord up above see fit to drop a volcano on them and clear off the problem that we got going on in this world so they can't make another mess. Because financially, they're happy. I mean, they're pleased. I mean, they're making money hand over fist. And in the meantime, the average Joe out there struggling to survive is getting screwed. I mean, you go outside and you find this crud on your car that you don't understand where it's coming from. Buddy, you remember back in the day when they were talking about acid rain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was a big deal back there. We got to stop the pollution because we're getting acid rain. Well, that should have been something right there. You know, you start.
It's still happening. You just ain't hearing about it because it's old news. It's not making money.
Well, the BP oil spill is old news too. We shouldn't even be talking about it. We should be moving right along. But, dude, call me crazy, but after doing some research on this chemical and how it actually functions, I'm concerned. I am past concerned. And it's not something that's just going to go away overnight. It's going to take a long time to get that ocean back to where it needs to be. And as long as you got radioactive material pouring into the water, mixing with chemistry from the Gulf of Mexico or wherever else they use this doggone stuff, how many oil spills out there have gone on that haven't gone reported? We know about BP. We know about the Valdez or whatever the name of that ship was back in the day in 89 that went down. But what do we know about the smaller spills that they use? I mean, they could be dropping.
There was one off the East Coast a year ago or right after BP.
Yeah, that was Exxon.
Yeah.
Well, did they use the same? Then yeah, Exxon Valdez is the one they used, and that was in 89. They used Corexit back then as well. And so all the other ones out there that we're not hearing about, are they still using it there? So now you're not just talking about the Pacific Ocean, you're talking about everywhere, man. And all these oceans are connected. So with that said,
Stephen Gibbons down here in the chat room, he said if they just left it alone, it would have turned into bitumen tar naturally.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I say let nature do what nature does, and you know, use whatever you can topside, such as like what you were talking about, skimming the oil off the surface and you know, capturing it that way would have been more common sense than doing what they did. All they did was hide it, drop it down to the bottom of the ocean. But the scary thing is it's not just at the bottom of the ocean. It's at multiple layers. And so with that said, like I say, with the difference of the temperatures of the water, it could hide underwater for years and then suddenly hit a warm spot, pop up to the top, kill off a school of fish, and then like, hey, look, there's another mass die-off over there, you know?
Yeah, and it's got all them different grades of oil and stuff, they go at different levels, basically still carry what broke it up.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, this stuff binds itself to water molecules, and so essentially you're giving it a nifty little raft to carry it around the world. And then when this water evaporates, the chemistry is going up there with it. And so, you know, what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? Is there any option out there? People need to get some of this chemical and do some analysis on it to figure out ways to naturally break it down faster, figure out ways by which to save some sea life and put them in fish hatcheries or whatever to keep them alive until the problem's resolved. Otherwise, there's nothing we can do.
From those commercials, those Bounty commercials, those paper towel commercials, those exorbitant paper towels, we have men that are trying to absorb all different kinds of materials through our house all the time. It's as simple as making the material porous. You got a paper towel, it soaks up so many things, it won't soak up oil that well, so you make the material more porous. You would use a gold mat. You know those gold mats, then the sluice boxes, they're really porous, they catch everything. You put that on, ran that through to the oil, it would catch it no problem, it would cling to it.
Well, any solution...
There's millions of ways of doing it without using negative chemicals.
Any solution's better than the chemical mess that they're making, you know. I don't like to be the one to come out and say that there's some sort of really serious issue going around, a doomsday type scenario. I don't want to be the one to say it, but somebody got to say it, because as far as I can see, and I'm not stupid by any means, I may not be the brightest light on the tree, but I'm not stupid by any means. The basic science tells me that this shouldn't have went in the water to begin with. You know, just like boiling water with highly refined radioactive material, you know the stuff's going to get hot. You know it's going to make the water hot. You know that there's a potential that you could have a leak. And so with that said, if the research says that this leaks out into the environment, that you're going to kill off some fish, you shouldn't have put it in there to begin with. But these guys look at the dollar sign over common sense every time. And it's like the EPA and the Food and Drug Administration, well, there's only so many parts per million that, you know, like toothpaste. It clearly says on the doggone tube of toothpaste, in case of accidental ingestion, call a poison control. Why would you put that in your mouth? Come on. Why would you allow somebody to sell something like that?
Why would you put a perfectly good, why would you put your fish in our water anyway? They got an attitude like they own everything. You come up with a good point and something that sits there and makes them look bad, and they get smug about it and say a smart, jerky answer, man. It's all of, we didn't do anything wrong. What are you doing with your fish in our water? I mean, you know, it's...
Well, I don't call it mad science for nothing, and this really makes me mad.
They don't care if you believe it or not. As long as they have an excuse to stand on.
Well, they can make all the excuses they want, but then at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. They're poisoning their own children, man.
It's about as dumb as an excuse of saying, oh, sorry, dear, she just fell under me. You know. So, no, it's stupid.
So, while good
weather,
people...
Weather balloons, come on. Swamp gas. Let's see, it's just a natural wind that sits there and makes that all of a sudden comes up and slams a bunch of birds into the side of your house.
Yeah, while good people are sitting around the world trying to figure out ways to make the world a better place, you got knuckleheads out there doing stuff like this, you know?
They must have bumped into each other in the air.
Yeah, it was firecrackers, remember? That's what they said. They said the birds were falling out of the sky because of firecrackers.
I never seen anybody fall over. I mean, I've seen the fireworks go off and you couldn't see across the field and all that stuff, and you'd be laughing. Wow, that stuff stinks. Woo! You know?
But you never saw birds falling out of the sky.
They are still fine. The birds did not get killed by the emissions off the burning of the fireworks.
No way. I suggest to everybody out there listening to this show to Google Corrects It.
Hold on a second. Let me put this off here. Let me finish this off. If you can watch a prop on a wind turbine turning 300-400 RPM up to 600 RPMs, you see these little hummingbirds doing their mating dance with zigzagging in and out of the doggone blades, I think they can avoid the smoke.
Yeah, definitely. I suggest that everybody out there in earshot of this radio show who's listening, who cares about this world and the environment and such, if you're going to protest anything, go out there and Google Corrects It, C-O-R-E-X-I-T. Go out there and Google it. I put some links to some videos in the chat room at ShazizRadio.com and over at AwakeRadio.com. Click on them links, go out there and Google Corrects It, and do just some basic research into the matter and see if you come up with the same conclusion that we are. And if you do, then you might want to talk to your neighbors and point it out to them as well. You know, to me, this dwarfs any other natural disaster or man-made disaster in the history of man. This is an ongoing event. This isn't something that's going to go away overnight. And back in the day when they started using stuff like asbestos, it was all right. It was approved. You know, you could use asbestos. We didn't find out till years later that asbestos was causing mesothelioma because of this fiber in that stuff was getting into people's bodies. And so, you know, with that said, there's a lot of different chemistry out there that are problems, definitely. But this is by far, this is a monster. This is bad. And it's going right directly into the ocean, which in turn is basically collapsing the food chain out there in the ocean. That's why you've got sea lions starving to death and starfish washing up on the shore that are like jelly. You know, that are just liquefied. Birds falling out of the sky, fish washing up on the shore. Dude, you know what? It was all prophesied in a book. Maybe it's all related.
Clear Angel put a... let's see. Stone said methane killed the birds. And, you know, I don't think that. I said, well, they must have eaten too many beans. But then Clear Angel here, he says, are you kidding? They do not care whether the poison their children. They're only interested in poisoning the population and turning them into slaves.
Dude, you kill. Look, it does. This isn't discriminatory. This chemical attaches itself to water molecules. It breaks down oil. No matter what you want to say. You can dig and dig and dig and try to find any single deal out there that is worse than this chemistry, and you're just going to be wrong. That's all there is to it, and that's my humble opinion. Because this is something that your body is three-quarters covered in water. This earth is three-quarters covered in water. This has a bad reaction with water. This breaks down to a point where oil is already toxic in itself with its own natural chemistry. It becomes, this chemical becomes even more toxic the more you break it down. The toxicity level raises the more you dilute it. And so this should be the number one concern of this planet. As far as I'm concerned, this is the doomsday scenario of the day. This is the top. That's all there is to it. You know?
Yeah, they have what they call a diatonic basically, when you get something not too strong or not too weak, it gets absorbed more readily and faster. That's a diatonic solution, I think. I hope I'm not wrong in misquoting that. But basically, there was a deal called like Primerica. It was a multi-level deal there. If you take a regular vitamin and it's real strong, you don't absorb it as quick because the body fights it and puts up a gel layer. And you get it to the right. You get it to the right dilution. It goes into you even more. That means you dilute it more, and you dilute it more, and all of a sudden, man, your body's ready to accept it quickly. I could see that what they put out there was very, very potent and strong, and diluting it.
Well, they put out...
It made it worse.
They put out millions of gallons. Millions of gallons. That's a big deal. And they said that they will use it again. So when's the next oil spill going to happen? Because we know that nature's going to shake a few things up and mankind's going to make a few mistakes. There are going to be more oil spills. No, without a doubt, there'll probably be a huge one tomorrow. Who knows? But they'll use it again. And every single time they use it, they're going to up the ante and shorten the time that mankind's going to have to survive. You know, if you ain't paying attention to nature, if nature starts dropping down around you and you're not paying attention to what's going on, then guess what? You're in line. Each and every one of us are in line. When nature falls, we fall with it. That's all there is to it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The fish drowned. I don't think so.
Well, I know that some folks could find a way to try to make this sound funny, but this isn't funny. This is your children and my children's future and their children's future.
I don't think
future.
That was funny. I think it was more about a sarcastic note.
Well, either way, it's something that needs to be addressed, and it's something that needs to be addressed on a mass scale, because right now, like I said, we got people over there planning for war. You know, they're planning for World War III as far as we know. I mean, they're already over there bombing the crud out of each other. And they don't understand that whoever wins the war loses anyway. They're all going to die. I mean, this is a humanity thing. This is a wake up and smell the coffee stupid kind of moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what. I'm aggravated, I'm frustrated, I'm worried and concerned about the whole doggone mess. You know, like I said, we're all sitting around trying to find answers for clean alternative energy, while at the same time, these same companies out there that we're up against as far as the crude oil or whatever are throwing toxic crud into everything. We've got an aluminum factory right down the street, and God knows what they dump down the creeks at night. You know, you see this white milky substance coming down the creek and you don't know what it is, whether it's a detergent or some sort of chemistry to break down oil spills in their machine rooms or whatever. But this isn't just in my neighborhood, it's in your neighborhood, it's in everybody's neighborhood. It's in Mexico and Canada and Australia and Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, Russia, Germany. We're all sitting around while these companies are making a lot of money and they're polluting. Go down and walk into your local neighborhood. Go down in the creek and look what you find down in the creek. All right? You're killing nature, man. And my bet is that nature's going to win out, but the problem is, does mankind have enough time to wait for nature to clean up the mess? I submit that under these particular circumstances, there is no way in heck that mankind is going to survive until nature gets this mess cleaned up, because mankind keeps on piling more crud on top of it. Millions of gallons of Corexit. Google it. Google the chemistry. Google how it breaks down the oil. And they're sitting there telling you that when it breaks it down to a certain level, that the microbes eat it all up and it goes away. It ain't going away. It ain't going to go away for decades, if not centuries or longer.
The thing is, they're only practicing and testing and experimenting.
That's what they said, too. They said the Gulf of Mexico...
doing it.
They said the Gulf of Mexico was the biggest experiment in the history of time, and nobody will know the ramifications until, guess what? Today. Right. Now we're seeing the side effects.
The Illuminati predicted years before it even happened. The ritualistic sinking of Japan and the disasters, they're all there. Even 9-1-1 was there in the game before it happened. It's a script.
Well, here's the thing. If there's a secret society out there such as the Illuminati that's doing all this stuff, or a satanic organization, or a secret government organization, everybody needs to have their cameras on 24/7 and bring it all to light. I mean, it's time that these folks go to jail. It's time that they have to pay for the damages that they've done from every single war in the history of this nation all the way to the present day and on into the future. I mean, you know, if there was
nobody
ever...
Nobody wants to hear the real truth. The real truth is the Ballin ones came down here and they've been in charge ever since the beginning. Ever since the ancient Sumerians, they mated with the women of the earth, and they don't like you, they hate you. Not only do they hate you, they want to be you, so they have everybody that even has somewhere remotely of a good life. They want to possess them and live their life through them. They want to do everything and take us down so that they can have all of this themselves, and they want all the gold. Why go out and get all the gold themselves when they get us to get it? We've been their slaves, just like it was predicted by the ancients.
If this is all biblical, then my suggestion to everybody at this point in time is get right with God, because that's your only hope. That's all there is to it.
But the world doesn't want to hear that, Shaziz. I've heard it from so many people. Why does he talk about that so much? Because you're right.
You know, yeah.
It's what's in them that hates you. Sorry about it, but that's the truth, you know?
Hey, you know, I only say it like I see it. All right, whoever wrote that book a couple thousand years ago sure hit it spot on with all the stuff going on today. But even if you ain't a believer, you better be a believer that corrects some nasty stuff. It's flat out nasty. And if you don't think so, then go get you a glass full of it and may the good Lord be with you, because it's coming your way. It's coming everybody's way, and these jerks keep pouring it in. And they ain't going to stop. They already said that they'd use it again.
And the thing is, it's not a bunch of conspiracies. It's one.
Well, you know what?
We're trying to, even if you've been studying and looking at it for years, you're still trying to wrap your mind around it, because the things that they do and the different angles, it's all calculated, how much, the timing and all of it. And it gets more complicated, faster than you keep up, because you can't read about everything. No one can, and you cannot wrap your mind around the whole thing.
Well,
in the last days, the veil will be lifted, and you will see the cleverly devised fable.
Well, we're seeing it. The veil has been lifted. We're seeing it, flat out.
It has been being lifted. Nobody said it was going to just... Oh, hey, look.
As far as I'm concerned...
It's right in front of your eyes the whole time. That's the main thing. And some people see it later than others.
As far as I'm concerned, the veil's been wide open. And people have been ignoring it. And so with that said, you know, hey, if you just go out and Google it. Go out and Google corrects it. And look at the chemistry and how it works. And listen to both sides of the story. Even listen to the guy saying, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad. Just so many parts per million, and it's perfectly safe, you know. And nature will tear it all down and whatever, you know. Hey, somebody just typed in Clear Angel, the problem is there is no Noah to build any ark because there won't be any flood. It will be a fire or something like it. Well... Clear Angel, you better become the next Noah. Somebody better become the next Noah. Somebody better be building an ark and finding some wildlife to preserve. They got a food bank over on a place over in Alaska that they're basically storing seeds. They've got plenty of bunkers, and I'm sure they've got fresh water in there that doesn't have Corexit in it. And so if they're fixing on whacking everybody, thinking 40 years they'll come out of this world and have the world all to themselves, guess what? Surprise, surprise. When they come out, it's going to be 10 times worse than it was before they went in, and their plan is going to backfire on them on a biblical proportion. So if you go hide in your bunker, come out 40 years from now, I guess what? You're going to get a surprise.
That's what they're planning on.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, it's going to fail. It's going to fail.
We've seen the evidence in the videos and the films and all that stuff.
Because this stuff isn't going away.
And hide underground until everything clears up. But it ain't going to clear up if you don't have any life out there to sit there and filter it out.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. And you can't sell oil to dead people.
That's right.
It's really funny, water. You go into the grocery store and you go to the water section and you go, oh, look at all these different types of water. You read every single bottle. Every single bottle is bottled by Nestle.
Yeah.
You think you have choice.
There's a few different companies.
You don't have choice.
Good portion of them, dude. Good.
Well,
you go all the way around. Nestle owns the entire water in the entire world.
Either way, we're down to the last couple minutes of the show, guys. Look, I apologize to everybody around the world listening in to this show. You know, I don't mean to scare nobody, you know. All I hope is that this has enlightened you enough to where you at least go Google the term Corexit and actually look into it and do some sort of calling somebody and getting somebody to know that you personally do not want this being used. I mean, they don't listen to us anyway, but anything, something is better than nothing, because this, in my opinion, is the worst man-made disaster in the history of time, and it's only going to domino to basically total extinction of whatever's alive on this planet at any given time. And hopefully nature can rebound sometime years down the line, but this is it. We're on a sinking ship. Hey, love y'all. We're going down. You know what I'm saying? So, right now, if there's going to be a cleanup, it ain't going to be chemicals that's going to do it. You're going to have to figure out what nature dissolves this stuff down, and what will put nature back into place and work with nature as opposed to working against nature. And that's about the only thing I can say about it. So with that said, you know, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for the Hope Show. And thanks, Muddy and Justin. Peace, guys.
Thanks for having us, bud.
Thank you.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.